Leviticus chapter 8, and this is the chapter where we left off in our study of Leviticus way back in March. So we have once again come to the 8th chapter of Leviticus, and tonight I want to look at the whole chapter. I want to read the whole chapter and focus our attention especially on the ordination of Aaron to the office of high priest. So Leviticus chapter 8, and we will begin in verse 1, and let's pray together once again before we hear God's word. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away all of our sins and purifies us from all sin and defilement, that we may be holy and without blemish before you. Father, we thank you that Christ has clothed us in his robes of righteousness and garments for glory and beauty, so that we may stand before you in your presence and worship you in the beauty of holiness. Lord, we pray in our study of Scripture this evening that you would show us how Christ is revealed to us in the book of Leviticus as our great faithful high priest, for we pray this in his name. Amen. Leviticus chapter 8, and beginning in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats and tied sashes around their waist and bound caps on them as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering, and he killed it, and Moses took the blood and with his finger put it on the horns of the altar around it and purified the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. And he took all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull and its skin and its flesh and its dung he burned up with fire outside the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. He cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head and the pieces and the fat. He washed the entrails and the legs with water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering for the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat and the right thigh. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took 1 unleavened loaf and 1 loaf of bread with oil and 1 wafer and placed them on the pieces of fat on the right thigh. And he put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar with the burnt offering. This was an ordination offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments, and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire. And you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. As has been done today, the Lord has commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting, you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die, for so I have been commanded." And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. This is the word of God. Now, chapter 8 of Leviticus is about the ordination of Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. They were ordained as priests. Moses presided over their ordination service, which was held at the tabernacle and which took a full 7 days. And once they were ordained as priests, they would serve as mediators between heaven and earth. A mediator is a go-between, an intermediary who goes back and forth between two parties or two realms. As priests, Aaron and his sons would move back and forth between heaven and earth by passing through the gate of heaven, the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the gate of heaven. Now, if you can imagine the tabernacle as a flight of stairs that reaches all the way to heaven, to the very throne of God, the priests would go up and down that stairway, just like the angels were doing in Jacob's dream. Now, you might recall that Jacob saw in his dream a ladder, or a flight of stairs, set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. That's Genesis 28. Now, by their ordination to the priesthood, Aaron and his sons became like the angels. They were able to ascend and descend that ladder. That is, to move back and forth between the two realms, between heaven and earth. And they did that by going in and out of the tabernacle, the gate of heaven, Jacob's ladder. The tabernacle is Jacob's ladder. Heaven and earth are two realms. There's the holy realm and there's the common realm. Heaven is the holy realm because it's God's permanent dwelling place. It is filled with the glory spirit of God. And the tabernacle is the link between heaven and earth. It's the gate of heaven. To enter the tabernacle was to ascend into heaven and draw near to the throne of God. And for Aaron and his sons to do that, they had to become holy. That's the purpose of their ordination, to become holy. Their ordination changed their status from common to holy, or put differently, from earthly to heavenly. That's what it means to be ritually sanctified or consecrated, or ritually made holy. It means to be heavenized. Aaron and his sons were heavenized in their ordination. They became heavenly beings like the angels, so that like the angels, they might ascend and descend the stairway to heaven. Now, of course, Aaron and his sons were only heavenized in a symbolical manner, not literally, not in reality, but symbolically speaking, they were heavenized. They were not heavenized truly, but symbolically only. And they were not even the true mediators between God and men. Christ is. The Apostle Paul says that there was only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. Christ is the true mediator. Christ is the true priest. And Christ was truly, not symbolically, but truly heavenized. Aaron and his sons were only symbolically heavenized in their ordination and were mediators between heaven and earth only in the form of types and shadows or copies of the true mediator, Christ, the true priest, Christ, who truly ascended into heaven, the true tabernacle, and drew near to the throne of God as our permanent high priest. Now, I can put it more simply. Aaron and his sons were types of Christ. That's the easy way of putting it. They prefigured him. They foreshadowed him. They were types of Christ. As the high priest in the earthly tabernacle, Aaron functioned as a type of Christ, and his symbolic heavenization was patterned after the true heavenization of Christ, the true high priest. The two are related to each other as shadow and reality. Christ is the reality. Aaron was the shadow. Christ's heavenization is the reality foreshadowed in Aaron's symbolical heavenization. Christ's ascension into heaven is the reality foreshadowed in Aaron's symbolic ascension into heaven. So they relate to each other as shadow and reality. And to understand the shadow, we have to interpret it through the lens of the reality, that is, through the lens of the priesthood of Christ. Now, let's bear that in mind as we look once again at the ordination ceremony by which Aaron and his sons became priests. First of all, Aaron's ordination was a little different than his son's ordination because he was ordained as the high priest. There are two kinds of priests. There's the high priest and the regular priest. And the difference between them is that the high priest can ascend the ladder of heaven all the way to the top. He can ascend it all the way to the throne of God. The regular priest could only ascend the ladder so far. They could not go beyond the firmament represented by the curtain or veil in the tabernacle. The firmament separates the visible realm of earth from the invisible realm of heaven. The regular priest could only ascend the ladder up to the firmament, but they could not go beyond it. Only the high priest could do that. They could enter the first room of the sanctuary, the holy place, but they could not enter the inner room, the most holy place, beyond the curtain. Only the high priest could go there. The high priest had a special role because he alone could ascend to the throne of God in the Holy of Holies. Now let's look at the steps in Aaron's ordination. The first three rituals of Aaron's ordination were washing, clothing, and anointing. First, Moses washed him with water, which symbolized the removal of his sin and defilement. If Aaron entered the house of God and handled the holy things while a ritual uncleanness was on him, he would die. So Moses washed Aaron's body with pure water to remove any ritual impurities. The washing with water was a sacrament of purification. It was a visible sign that Aaron's sins had been blotted out and that he had been purified or cleansed from sin's defilement. It had much the same theological significance for Aaron that baptism has for us. Baptism signifies the washing away of our sins. Now, Christian baptism signifies more than that, but that's part of its theological significance. Now, secondly, after Moses washed Aaron with water, he dressed him with special garments, holy garments, the sacred vestments of the high priest. The clothes worn by the high priest were sacred. They were holy, just like the tabernacle itself. In fact, they were a scaled-down clothing version of the tabernacle. When the high priest was dressed in his holy garments, he looked like a miniature replica of the tabernacle. He was like a living tabernacle. Now, the book of Exodus says that the priestly garments were, quote, for glory and for beauty, which two terms, glory and beauty, are used elsewhere in the Old Testament to describe the glory cloud, the appearance of the glory cloud. When the high priest was dressed in his glory garments, he bore the image of and reflected the likeness of the cloud of glory. To be clothed in the priestly vestments was, symbolically speaking, to be heavenized, to be conformed to the image of the glory spirit. And by putting on his glory garments, the high priest was symbolically putting on the image of the glorified Christ and bearing the image of the man of heaven, who is life-giving spirit. Now remember, as we noted earlier, Christ is the reality. Aaron was a shadow of that reality. And what happens to Christ truly in his true heavenization happens to Aaron symbolically in his ordination. Now third, after dressing Aaron in the high priestly garments, Moses took the sacred anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all its furnishings to consecrate them. And verse 12, he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Now again, you got to understand what the word consecrate means here. To consecrate or to sanctify something or to make it holy in this context means to heavenize it. It means to remove it from the common realm to the holy realm, or, put differently, from the earthly realm to the heavenly realm. By anointing Aaron with sacred oil, Moses consecrated him. He changed his status from common to holy, or from earthly to heavenly. Moses symbolically heavenized Aaron. Aaron became a heavenly being, like an angel, not literally, symbolically. Aaron had to be heavenized to serve as a mediator between heaven and earth. He's going to move back and forth between those two realms, between heaven and earth, and he's going to do so by passing through the gate of heaven, which is the tabernacle. He's going to ascend Jacob's ladder all the way to the top, all the way to the very top, to the throne of God. He's going to pass beyond the firmament, represented by the veil, the curtain of the tabernacle, and enter into that invisible realm of heaven, the Holy of Holies, and appear before the face of God on behalf of God's people. Again, what Christ did truly when Jesus ascended into heaven beyond the firmament, beyond the veil, Aaron did symbolically when he passed beyond the curtain. So Christ is the reality. Aaron was a shadow of that reality. And Aaron's anointing, which consecrated him as the high priest, was patterned after and foreshadowed the anointing of Jesus Christ. Christ was anointed. Christ was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit. And so the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Jesus is the reality foreshadowed in the pouring out of the anointing oil on Aaron's head. And don't forget that the Spirit was poured out on Jesus after he was what? After he was baptized with water in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. When Jesus was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit descended on him and remained on him. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus returned to the synagogue at Nazareth after his baptism, here's what he said: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Luke chapter 4. So the baptism of Jesus, followed by his anointing with the Spirit, that, you see, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, followed by his anointing with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit descending on him in the form of a dove, that's the reality that was foreshadowed in Aaron's ordination when Aaron was first baptized or washed with water and then anointed with oil to consecrate him. The baptism of Jesus and pouring out of the Spirit on him commenced his ministry as the true high priest and mediator between God and men, who would offer himself up as the true and perfect sacrifice to remove all the sins of all God's people forever. And having made that final and perfect sacrifice, he would ascend to the very throne of God in the Holy of Holies in heaven to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. That's how the author of Hebrews puts it in Hebrews 9:24. The author of Hebrews says, "For Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things," which is where Aaron went, "but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." Jesus has entered, the author of Hebrews says in chapter 6, the inner room behind the curtain on our behalf and has become a high priest forever. So the point here is that what Jesus did as the true high priest, the true mediator, was symbolically pre-enacted by Aaron in the ministry of Aaron. Aaron was symbolically heavenized in his ordination and his entrance into the Holy of Holies. Christ was truly heavenized in his reception of the Holy Spirit, in his resurrection, glorification, and ascension into heaven. After making purification for sins, Jesus was clothed in his glory garments, not the symbol, but the reality, and he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So the high priest is a mediator between heaven and earth, and Christ, our high priest, appears in the presence of God on our behalf. He represents us as our mediator. But here's something else. His mediation is two-directional. He not only represents us before the Father, he also receives from the Father and gives to us. And what does he give us? He gives us the Holy Spirit. As our high priest and mediator, he received from the Father the gift of the Spirit and poured out that gift on the church. In other words, Christ anointed us with the Holy Spirit as he himself had been anointed with the Spirit by his Father. And that anointing with the Spirit consecrates us. What does that mean? It removes us from the common realm to the holy realm, from the earthly realm to the heavenly realm. And that transition from earth to heaven happens in stages. The first stage is that the Spirit unites us to the ascended Christ so that we are already seated with him in the heavenly places. That's where we are presently. We are already united to the ascended Christ, and therefore we are seated with him in the heavenly places. That's the first stage of our heavenization. The final stage of our heavenization will not occur until the end of the world when Christ returns to receive us to himself and bring us into his Father's house. That final stage, of course, is our glorification. And just as Moses anointed Aaron and his sons and consecrated them to the priesthood, Christ has anointed us with the Holy Spirit, and that bestowal of the Spirit changes our status from common to holy. It consecrates us to the priesthood as well. Now, that's why the Bible calls us saints. The word saints means holy ones. We are saints. We are holy ones. All believers are saints, not a select class of believers, not a select few, but all believers are saints. All of us have been consecrated as priests. The priesthood is something that we all share in common. You've heard of the priesthood of all believers. It's something we all share in common. The church is, in Peter's words, 1 Peter 2:5, a holy priesthood that offers spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a holy priesthood. And as a kingdom of priests, we, all of us, draw near to the throne of God. We ascend Jacob's ladder and enter the Holy of Holies through the new and living way that Christ, our high priest, has opened for us. And that's why the book of Revelation depicts the saints dressed in priestly garments. And it does this in a few places. The saints in Revelation are clothed in fine linen, bright and pure, Revelation 19:8. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, Revelation 7:14. Now, the point here is that the ordination of Aaron and his sons foreshadows what happened to Christ, the true high priest, but it also foreshadows what Christ does to us, what Christ has done to us. Christ washes away our sins and defilement with pure water. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit and makes us a holy people, a heavenly people. And he will clothe us with garments of glory and beauty when he raises us in power and glory and honor at the end of the age when he returns. He will fully and permanently heavenize us. He's already given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee and down payment, a first installment of that full and final heavenization at the end of the world. And he will fully and permanently heavenize us at the end of the world so that we too may ascend into the Holy of Holies in heaven and appear before the face of God in righteousness and holiness forever and ever. Now that full and final heavenization lies in our future, but even now we can ascend Jacob's ladder and draw near to the throne of God and through the ascended Christ by his Spirit enter into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And that's what we do every time we gather in the name of Christ for worship. That's what we do every time we come to him in prayer. And that, my friends, should give you great certainty and confidence and even boldness When you draw near to God, you do so clothed in the righteous robes of Christ himself. And when God looks at you, he sees you clothed in the glory garments of Christ. Now, one of the clearest illustrations that we have of this teaching in Scripture is in the book of Zechariah chapter 3, where Joshua the high priest appears before God in heaven. Zechariah chapter 3 in verse 1 says the following, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?' Now Joshua," Zechariah 3:3, "was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments." This is Joshua, a high priest, standing before God clothed with filthy garments. Now that's what we look like to God outside of Christ, apart from Christ. That's what we look like to God. Our garments are filthy. They are stained and defiled by sin. And we are therefore unfit to be in the presence of a holy God. In fact, we are in great danger in the presence of God. Now remember, if you come into contact with something holy while an uncleanness is on you, you will die. Now, the image of Joshua the high priest dressed in filthy garments is a picture of our status outside of Christ, our status apart from Christ. But God, you see, does not leave us in that state. He doesn't leave us there. He removes from us our filthy garments, and he clothes us with pure and holy garments for glory and beauty so that we may stand before him without condemnation and worship him in the beauty of holiness. Zechariah 3 goes on in verse 4, "And the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Remove the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments.' And I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments." God dressed Joshua the high priest with pure and holy garments of beauty and glory. He clothed him, in other words, in the righteousness of the true high priest, Jesus Christ. And that's what God did for Joshua the high priest. That's what God has done for us. God has clothed us in the pure and perfect robes of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. And when we stand before God in Christ, in those pure and holy garments of beauty and glory. Now let me close by reading to you the words of Hebrews chapter 4, at the end of Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, which I think is an appropriate application of tonight's message. This is how the sermon applies to us personally. The author of Hebrews says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens," there it is, he's passed beyond the veil, beyond the firmament, through the heavens, into the Holy of Holies, "Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace." We draw near to the throne of grace. That's the throne of God. We draw near to God's throne with confidence, with boldness. We draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.